Thank you for joining me on this brief walking tour of historic and beautiful Concordia Seminary. The seminary was founded in 1839 in Perry County, Missouri, about 100 miles south of St. Louis. The original school was not planned as a theological, but as an elementary and preparatory school. When it opened in 1839, the enrollment consisted of 4 girls and 7 boys, ranging in age from 5 to 15 years. The building itself was a log cabin, and later on in the tour, you will see a replica of that first school. In 1849, just 10 years later, Concordia was moved to South Jefferson Avenue in St. Louis, where it remained until 1926, when the present campus was dedicated. The campus on which you are presently standing consists of 72 acres, and the initial group of 19 buildings plus the professors' residences cost less than $3 million when the campus was built. The architecture of the buildings is collegiate Gothic, and it is similar to the style of buildings at Cambridge and Oxford universities in England. You are presently standing outside Pritzlaff Hall, near the side entrance to Schaller Hall, one of our dormitories, and underneath Tyndale Arch. As you face the quadrangle, you are sharing moments of history that have been very important to our church. Countless rallies and worship celebrations have taken place in this quad. It is the site of our annual graduation, with the slightly raised grassy platform to your right as the stage for such celebrations. And this is also that notorious spot where, during the 1974 walkout to form Seminex, many wooden crosses were planted by the students leaving this campus. Walk with me now to the twin arches on your left toward Luther's statue. We are now standing on the wide patio facing Luther's statue. To the right, across the road, and near the parking lot, are 3 of what we call isolation dormitories, isolated not for any health reasons, but because they are not joined to the other buildings. Behind Luther's statue is a piece of land affectionately called Sibby's Gulch, in honor of one of the first presidents of the seminary and the synod. It is leased annually to the town of Clayton as a public park, so that nearby residents have a place to relax, and the seminary can play a part in the life of the community. The Luther statue you are facing, one of the more familiar landmarks of our campus, was originally dedicated at the old seminary on Jefferson Avenue in 1903. It is an exact replica of the one at Worms, Germany, and was moved to this campus in 1926. Now let's turn around and proceed back underneath Walter Arch. This is usually one of our cooler spots in the heat of summer, and one of the more comfortable to enjoy. Above us stretches Luther Tower, actually designed in the original plans of the seminary, but not completed until 1966. In its crown is a 49-bell carillon, the only carillon in the state of Missouri, which was produced in the Netherlands. The largest bell in that carillon weighs 5,200 pounds, and is 58 inches in diameter. Each bell was contributed by individual donors whose names are listed on the 2 plaques above the books of remembrance in the Chapel of the Holy Apostles. As we proceed to that chapel, you may pick up a carillon brochure which tells you more about the tower. Come with me up the stairs to your right now, around the corner and into the second door on your right, which will lead us to the Chapel of the Holy Apostles. This chapel is used for private meditation, weddings, and baptisms. It also contains the Books of Remembrance, a brief biography of each pastor in the Missouri Synod who has died. The project is by no means complete, for only 5 volumes, containing approximately 1,200 names of pastors who died between 1945 and 1963, are finished. Lack of funding has made it impossible to complete the project. This chapel is part of Francis Pieper Hall, and you may have noted the plaque on the wall near the entranceway. If the rest of the building is open, you might wish to proceed down the hallway to see the president's office and the boardroom, two very important areas to the administration of this seminary. Come with me now back down the stairway into the quadrangle toward our dining halls on the left. There probably is little need for me to tell you that the dining halls are two of the more popular places on campus. Perhaps you have already had an opportunity to visit or enjoy a meal in one of them. Wartburg and Coburg halls are almost mirror images. Their interiors are typical of the interiors of castles at the time of Martin Luther. Each hall holds approximately 250 people, and between the two dining halls is the kitchen. If the dining halls are open, feel free to proceed into them, and be sure to note the small stained glass window symbols, some of the more than 200 scattered around the campus. Now let's go back out of the dining halls and up the steps to the left, proceeding toward the Fountain of the Holy Trinity and the Reflecting Pool. Just beyond the fountains, you will see a rather modern-looking building, which is Ludwig Feuerbringer Library. It is one of the more recent additions to the campus, built in 1962, and it is the largest single building on the entire 72 acres. It covers 44,000 square feet of space and contains more than 130,000 volumes. The fountain in front of the library is not only decorative, but is part of the complete temperature and humidity control system in the library itself. The statue at the entrance is of St. Michael, the Archangel, and the library also contains 6 seminar rooms, 3 music listening booths, 10 study rooms, and 40 small studies. If the library is open at this time, feel free to walk in and ask someone to show you around. Having completed a tour, I hope, of the library, proceed with me to the low-slung brick building on the left and the complex that faces us there. Directly down Library Path, we face Lober Hall. This 25-year-old building houses our campus services and serves as a convention center for the many meetings of the church which take place here. The building on the left of Lober Hall, as you face it with your back to the fountain, is the Concordia Historical Institute, the Department of Archives and History of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It contains over 2,400,000 manuscripts, documents, and papers, and the museum section of the Institute alone is well worth visiting. If the Institute is open at this time, you may ask at the desk for a separate tour of the Institute itself. Just beyond the 2 stone pillars to your far left, which is the side entrance to the campus, is a building housing the Center for Reformation Research. Although not open at this time, it is visited by scholars from throughout the world who are looking for authentic manuscripts and other materials from the Reformation period. Now, if you'd like, try the Historical Institute entrance and see if it is open. Turn right with me now, and let's proceed down the road toward the log cabin, which you see sitting on the hill. Before we get there, we will cross a small intersection. For those of you who have the time and are more energetic, you may wish to walk down that long road. If you were to walk alongside Loeber Hall, away from the fountain and toward the radio tower, you would see two smaller dormitories to your left, Fritz and Mesger Halls, both of which are being adapted for our married student housing needs. The seminary has 50 on-campus units of married student housing, but last year alone we had 271 requests for those 50. So you can see there is much to be done in developing our facilities. As you proceed down that road, if you do, to the right are our athletic fields, and to the left, tennis courts and our gymnasium. At the very end of the road is historic radio station KFUO, owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for more than 45 years. It has a power rating of 5,000 watts AM and 100,000 watts FM. The station carries, along with other programs, the daily morning chapel services of the seminary. Beyond KFUO are some 12 acres of woodland presently being considered by the Synod for the development of synodical headquarters. Now, if you would like, please proceed down that road or go right on to the log cabin. The log cabin is a replica of the first Concordia Seminary building erected in 1839 in Perry County, Missouri. The original cabin was built by three ministerial candidates, the Messrs. Binger, Ottomer, Fuhrbringer, and Theodore Brougham. Alongside of the log cabin stood a bell tower originally, whose bell tolled each time a Missouri Synod pastor died. Unfortunately, the tower was an attraction for the children of the area, and in the fear that someone would be hurt, the bell tower was removed. Let's continue down the street now, with the log cabin on our left and some of our other dormitories on our right. We are approaching the area in which much of our faculty resides. 15 well-built brick homes face us, and beyond them down to the left are another several bungalows. Some of our faculty also live off campus. As you approach the road intersecting on your right with the small sign indicating that the street is not through, you might be interested to know that the large home directly in front of you is the home of our seminary president, Dr. Bowman. Turning right, we approach the northerly border of the campus with Seek Hall on your immediate left. This building, too, is some 25 years old, and houses, together with administrative offices and many excellent classrooms, our media center. Some of the most up-to-date and sophisticated radio and television equipment anywhere in the area is housed here. Chances are that the next time you see some audiovisual production put out by the Synod, it will have been produced in Seek Hall. On your right is a building with twin entranceways and a plaque identifying Winneken Hall Auditorium. If this building is open today, please proceed through the doors, for directly in front of you will be our chapel auditorium. I'm sure it will be a slight disappointment to you, because it is not the type of chapel you would expect to find at a major seminary. However, this is another building which we hope to improve in the very near future. When the seminary was built on this campus, $3 million was set aside to construct the Chapel of the Holy Trinity. Unfortunately, before the plans could be completed, the Depression of 1929 arrived, and the chapel was never finished. Thus, thousands of shepherds of our Missouri Synod flocks have worshipped in what was really intended to be an auditorium. Since Synod simply does not have the money to build us a chapel in today's money market, we shall seek to improve the worshipful atmosphere of this chapel through our Forward Fund campaign next year. Now, if you like, you may try to go into the building and visit the chapel. Now that we are exiting Winneken Hall, let's turn left up the outside stairway and back to our starting point at Pritzlaff Hall. After you return your tape recorder to the switchboard in Pritzlaff Hall, may I invite you to take one last side trip? Ask the switchboard operator if you may go upstairs to view Pritzlaff Lounge, which we fondly call our living room. This is where many student-faculty activities take place, where meetings of various synodical committees and others occur, and where receptions of every kind are held. I think you will agree with me that this is one of the more beautiful areas on the campus, one which certainly lends itself to hospitality and Christian fellowship. Thank you for being with us on this brief walking tour. I hope that you have gained a lasting impression of something of which all of us can be very proud. For the Synod to own as beautiful a campus as we find here at Concordia Seminary is certainly something for which we daily should give thanks to our God. And then it becomes important that each of us accept personal responsibility to support it, to pray for it, and to take an interest in what it is doing. For it is on this campus that the preparation of so many young pastors occurs, men who someday will guide the church. Thank you for joining us today. Have a pleasant visit and a blessed journey home. God bless you.